bonus content.
Hey, listen, Food Court will be coming back with new episodes this spring, but until then, here is some fun bonus content to tide you over. Today on Bonus Content on the Food Court with Richard Blaze, we're talking about the best things we've eaten, the worst things, and even some cooking fails. Lauren and Annie have a lot to say about cake versus pie, but they saved a little something for the bonus content. So Annie and Lauren, if you can share with us and the Food Court audience, what are some of your worst baking disasters?
One of mine was with a pie. I did something terrible to the crust. I don't know what I did, but it turned into that coffin situation. Like, it was just, it was inedible. And like, and it looked so nice for once I'd finally decorated a crust. Oh. I don't usually decorate. Like, I'm the practical baker. I'm like, it's gonna taste good. Just don't look at it. Yeah, that was up there.
Ooh, was it lattice work with like fall foliage and just beautiful scenery?
It wasn't a lattice, but it was just there were I did like little leaves and all of the little flower details, and I cut all the stuff out and I drew the little, oh man. This is why I don't try to make things pretty, because I mess up the physics.
The physics style's overrated. Yeah.
Annie, any baking disasters?
Will you allow a candy making baking kind of disaster?
Of course.
Oh no.
Okay, this one's actually really hilarious, because for this show we did an episode on marshmallows, and at the time I was really active on social media and I was trying to show like, oh look, I'm making marshmallows for the show. I got it stuck everywhere, and I'm recording, right? I'm filming this. So it just went horribly wrong, and I couldn't get any of the stuff to stop sticking. It got in my face and on my hair, and I couldn't turn off the camera because it was everywhere. And I didn't even get anything out of it. Sometimes with baking disaster, you at least get to eat it. It's sad, and you won't share it with anybody, but you at least get to eat it.
Right. You're like, oh, it's chocolate. Whatever. It'll be right.
No, yeah. This was a disaster in every way. It took forever to clean. I'm highly embarrassed by it. The video still exists.
Ooh.
But I am holding on to it tightly.
Ooh, lots of hits on that video. I have a similar story. When I was young, I had a liquid marshmallow accident as well. And we had like a 12-year-old neighbor babysitting for us. And I got some marshmallow in my hair, and he just decided to like cut it out and gave me a haircut. And like, my mom was not very happy about it. So I have some feelings about marshmallows as well. What about nice food memories? Some of your nicest, sweetest food memories. Lauren?
Oh gosh, every single food memory all the time. I like I eat a lot and I appreciate it every day. Let me think. Give me like 2 seconds, man. I'm sorry.
Any nice food memories? Something sweet?
Yes. I have two. One really quick one. My grandfather, I loved croissant chocolat au pain. And he made sure one of my birthdays, he had just been in France, and he bought me back a whole thing of them. Ooh. And it was just like such a beautiful, lovely surprise. And then I was living in China for a couple of months, like almost a year. And I was sort of speaking about homesickness. And, you know, I love the food there, but you still get cravings for foods you can't get. And all of my friends in China did this meal where they made what they thought were classic American foods, and most of them were, like macaroni and cheese, and they made spaghetti and meatballs and peanut butter sandwiches. And it was just so sweet that they did that for me. And it was fun to share it and experience it with them and have that moment.
Amazing. Here's a tip that you didn't ask for, but I love stale croissants as croutons for kale Caesar salad.
Okay.
I guess because I know you like kale salad. So
yes.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bye.
Esther and Heather won't be sharing an apps platter anytime soon, but they have no problem sharing their opinions. Let's see, Esther, you have some very strong opinions about genres of cuisine.
I have been lured into a sushi restaurant here and there, you know, out of my drunken state, but I don't eat sushi.
Okay. Is it because just raw fit? You're not into raw things?
Well, I can't afford it. And besides that, no, I don't eat raw fish. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fish eater to begin with.
Okay.
So
you should try some calamari. I hear it's very delicate. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just get grossed out by it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just such a Midwestern that I grew up on pizza burgers.
Deep dish pizza, hot beef sandwiches.
Exactly. So I'm more of like a cow eater, chicken eater. So I just get grossed out when I see like anything raw. Like I don't eat like beef tartare.
I get it. You're spinning the wheel. It is a roulette of foodborne illness every time you eat raw food. This is true. Even as a chef who serves plenty of raw dishes. Heather, what about yourself? Foods that you can't stand.
I truly can like any food if it's prepared well. That's why it was hard for me to figure out how to come on the show because I like just about everything. I have preferences. I don't prefer fried food. It's one reason I like calamari because it can often be lightly fried and then it's perfect. But truly, there isn't a food, I think, that couldn't be made delicious.
Even kiwis?
Oh, I love a kiwi.
Do you love kiwis?
I do like kiwis.
They're so weird. I think any fruit that's like furry.
Hairy on the outside.
Well, that's what it is.
It's nice.
And pretty. You can use the shell as a little cup. I'm being such a dad right now, but like you can just use it as a little cup.
I love a shell cup.
Esther, best thing you've ever ate?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I'd have to say... Best thing I ever ate? Can I just say in the past 24 hours?
Sure, in the past 24 hours.
I was at a weed speakeasy last night.
Yes.
At a cannabis dinner.
LA is awesome.
And we were, like, they literally were bringing us joints every 10 minutes.
Okay.
We were high off our asses. Like, I smoked maybe 10 joints.
Nice.
And the dessert was this apple pie, rosemary apple pie. Mm-hmm. And everybody had their own little cup. It was just... divine.
That was it. Now, do you think that it was really good or you were just so high that like whatever it was going to be delicious?
I was definitely so high. So whatever I ate, it could have been like a McDonald's apple pie. It would have been delicious. Oh. But no, it was definitely really good.
But McDonald's apple pies are delicious, especially back in the day when they would fry them in actual lard. Now they fry them in vegetable oil.
But now they're all PC about it.
Exactly. Heather, what about you? Best thing you've ever ate?
I was thinking about this. It was a toss-up between the heart of an artichoke because it's so much work to get there, and it is so incredibly delicious.
Coming out of nowhere with the heart of an artichoke.
I love it. You know, you got to boil those things and dip them in butter. That's how I feel. But actually, one time I was sightseeing in Liège and in Belgium, and I had this menu. It was like I couldn't read. I know some French, but I couldn't understand anything on this menu. So I was like, just give me the special. Mm-hmm. And I ate this thing without knowing what it was. And it was a year later, I had it again. And it was this perfectly cooked thing. And I was like, is this a liver? Is this chicken? It was just almost like the most tender chicken I ever had in my life. And I found out it was sweetbreads.
Sweetbreads.
And it was such an delicious, like I cannot forget that perfect bite. It was a fried thing again.
You're fancy, but warm pudding and sweetbreads.
High maintenance over here.
I am Eurotrash. My mother is from the Netherlands, so we didn't have any very normal foods in the house. I had a hard time at lunchtime. It was like a parents were brought home to be like, what will Heather eat? And it was a thing because I like almost everything, but I didn't get introduced to American like normal foods till I was like in college, really. Like it was other kids'
That's
house.
That's why you were an outcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like
was
me.
An outcast.
Like I had like rice and seaweed for lunch.
Yeah.
And the other kids looked at me like, ew. But now.
No, now in California.
Now everybody eats seaweed.
Like everyone's lunch.
Yeah. It's like
every
become
kid's lunch.
A normal freaking thing to eat.
There's so many things I grew up with that are really popular now. Like brunch and bagel Sundays because my dad's Jewish. Like all those things everyone has now. But I grew up with like lox on bagels and then brie cheeses and things. Because that's my mom came to America and just was like, what is American cheese? That is not cheese.
Now, did you ever resent that when you were young and like your friends were like, where are the mozzarella sticks?
I mean, grilled cheese sandwiches and meatloaf. Yeah, that's it. Those things were exotic to me and I was excited by them. So,
meatloaf.
And the thing was, my mom grew up really poor. It's just that cheese in Holland, like they just call it young cheese and old cheese. That's Gouda or Gouda, you know? And so the fancy cheese is the normal cheap cheese there. So, you know,
I cannot believe that you brought sweetbreads into this game. I had a short-lived t-shirt company because, you know, why not? And we had a t-shirt and it was one of my most popular ones, which means we sold 4 or 5 of them. And when I was a chef in a restaurant, we had a sweetbread dish and it was lightly fried with some capers and lemon and raisins and it was parsley salad and all these things. And they would kept getting returned to the kitchen. And this, I was like, what's wrong with the sweetbreads? They're delicious. And the server would always say, chef, they thought that it was French toast because like it was literally sweetbread. Like they literally thought it was going to be a sweet bread. And you're like, no, it is the thymus gland of young cows or lambs. So that's what Heather grew up eating.
Warm
pudding, artichoke hearts, and sweetbreads.
You're trash.
Esther, how do you feel about the Chicago-style hot dog?
You know, there's a place called Gene and Jude's in River Grove where I grew up, and it has the most delicious Vienna beef hot dog.
If
you don't know, like if you ask for ketchup, they don't even have ketchup there. So if you ask for ketchup and you're an out-of-towner, you come in and get it, everybody starts making fun of you.
Of course, then they know. So you're down with the Chicago-style dog, too, with the hot peppers and the green relish and the celery seed salt thing?
Yeah, there's delicious relish mustard that they put on it, and the bun is also, like, a little soggy, and then they put the fries on top, so you have kind of like a taste. The fries are like, I like soggy fries.
Ooh,
right.
That actually, was that was brought to food court? Someone was argued soggy fries versus crispy fries.
Yes,
which is insane. You should have been here for that.
So they have they pile on the soggy fries on top of your hot dog, so all the flavors just mix, and it's just delicious.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Top Chef alums Melissa and Gregory, who took on Rice First Noodles, have something to say about this. Melissa, are you mad at me in right after the...
Not at all. I love both. Come on, rice
That's
and
true.
Noodles.
That like is kind of the tough thing.
It's so hard.
Yeah, it's a little like when we have comedians or, you know, writers on here and they could, you know, they have like food aversions or whatever. And they're like, I really hate avocados. Can't like for a chef to come out here and really go hard on something is tough. What is a food that maybe you hate or you can't stand or you don't have in your personal or professional kitchen? Just it could just be because of a memory or anything. Give me some sort of drama with a food item.
I cannot stand butter. I hate butter.
Butter.
I know. Like butter is like my least favorite food in like the whole world. It's like
that should have been the debate today. Butter.
I would have lost.
Honestly, this court, as you know, is not fair. I am so glad I didn't know that before. I would just have heard every argument you made.
I was just going to say pine nuts for me. That's just like a personal preference of something I don't really like love because I've like had bad rancid pine nuts and it threw me off forever. And I just don't eat pesto anymore and certain things like that, but like butter, boom, mind blown. Are you kidding me? Wow, we're gonna argue that one next.
I will lose any argument about butter. I'm like one
clearly
of like wow, eight people gosh in the world who don't like butter.
So do you not? There's no butter in you. Like, what about fake butter? No, vegan butter, not butter.
I got some palm shortening. I'm playing. I haven't used it yet for baking, but no. I just use like olive oil, coconut oil, avocado oil.
You are cooking healthy. There's not a noodle dish that you want to toss a knob of butter in at the end?
No, but when I was training for Top Chef, I made a bunch, but I didn't make it that far in Italy, so I didn't have to.
Butter and pine nuts, I get, right? For a couple reasons, right? You have that experience that you had some rancid pine nuts, so that's in your memory. But then also with pine nuts, I think a lot of it is they're so expensive.
Yeah, they're so expensive.
Yeah, exactly. For what they are. And I'm like, I can live without them, you know?
Yeah.
And
that
like
being said,
like those pine nut cookies, like never buy me those.
Yeah, I had like a giant bag of pine nuts in the pantry and I made my kids, who don't like my food most of the time, some pine nut oatmeal cookies. And I was like, I just got a bunch of pine nuts. I'm going to throw some pine nuts in these oatmeal cookies. I thought it was pretty creative and fun. And they were like, no, don't ever do that again. Also, though, the reason they're expensive is behind me is a Torrey pine tree. And they produce a pine nut. And I will tell you this, if you have ever seen a pine nut trying to be harvested, you understand the expense
does make sense.
Yeah, in the back, but good. Okay, what is your most memorable or least memorable? I'll leave it at that. Meal on Top Chef, but not competing. I'm talking like stew room, catering opportunity, PA delivering something in your... Okay, Melissa's got one.
Sugarfish.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Sugarfish, like for delivery in this beautiful little bento box that was perfectly curated, made my day. Ooh, every time that we had it.
It was also like,
I ate a lot of Sugarfish this season.
It was like the toughest challenges too, and then they would order it and we'd be like between like filming and we'd get home at like 11 and like have like the whole crew and like they'd finally leave and like we'd finally get Sugarfish and it was like $1,000 a pop for us, but like we were like, we want Sugarfish.
We deserve this.
Yeah. First of all, I was going to say, like, again, I'm OG Top Chef. Like, in my first season, like, we got McDonald's once and people were like, we were like loving it.
So In-N-Out was another good one that we had.
Fair enough, but I'm going to say, like, you can tell that the show has won awards and really is, like, a poster, like, iconic show now because you guys are getting $1,000 omakase Sugarfish deliveries.
Or divas.
No, I love it. I love it. That's probably, I'm assuming, too, at one point, because I know it takes a lot to go back on a show because I've done it. You both have done it now. And, like, I'm wondering if that was, like, a pitch at some point. We're going to send really good food to you while you're not competing.
I think they tried to be nicer to us because it was All Stars, but I think we had to push a little bit for like haircuts and massages and like all that stuff. But they gave us all that stuff.
He's giving away too much.
Awesome. Thanks, chefs.
Thank you.
Thanks, Richard.
This is so much fun.
It was fun. Bye, Melissa.
Deep dish versus New York pizza. It's a classic debate, but James and Jackie have even more to say. It is the time we all love. Bonus content! Jackie, let's talk about a food that was not part of the debate, but one that you absolutely hate, you despise. You can't have it. If people are eating it around you, you just can't deal with it.
I'm weird about condiments. There's certain I love condiments. Yeah. I'm very into condiments. My favorite thing is when you go into like some kind of food court and they have like the 10 of the different like Heinz condiment like containers, and I'm like, am I gonna use all of these? But there's a few condiments that I think are just like really gross, and maybe that comes from back when I used to be a caterer and you had to pick up, you know, the tables afterwards. Mm-hmm. I hate ranch dressing.
Ooh, a classic food court debate, ranch dressing versus blue cheese dressing. What side would you have been on?
Oh, blue cheese. 100% okay. Blue cheese. Yeah, if you get wings, you got to put blue cheese on it because ranch is gross. Ranch is just gross. When you pour ranch out of a bottle, it looks gross.
Right.
You know?
I made a keto ranch dressing the other day. Mm-hmm. You obviously don't follow my Instagram page because you're offending the judge, but no worries. So is ranch, you can't stand ranch dressing.
I hate like, you know, the classic like Hidden Valley, like buttermilk ranch. Like the one of the most disgusting things I think I've ever seen in possibly my entire life was, this was years ago, I catered an event where for the salad dressing, they just put it in like a bowl. And this was like a cereal bowl size bowl. And it was just full of, on every single table, just one of these giant ranch bowls and like a ladle. And just watching these people just like ladle ranch onto like.
Yeah. Seriously, in one of my restaurants, I have a ranch dressing keg.
Yeah.
And like people just put their mouths under the spigot.
I think it's not just that, like, I think ranch dressing is I think people act disgusting around ranch dressing.
I do.
Fair enough. James, what about you? Food that you just detest?
Actually, it's oddly enough, and I guess that's why we fight a lot about things, but I think blue cheese is so disgusting. It's moldy food. Like, do not put that near my mouth.
But it was found in a cave, James.
That true? You find blue cheese in a cave?
This happens in like cold, dark, damp places.
Cheese happens in natural states?
Yes.
I didn't know that. It doesn't really change my mind. So does, bear shit in the wood. I'm not going to eat that. It's just because it's natural.
That's also how they make really great coffee.
No.
We've gotten to that on Food Court as well. Technically not bears, it's monkeys. But it's monkeys that eat coffee beans, and then people brew coffee with those beans. And it's $50 a cup.
Coffee for what we...
Cats, meerkats.
Cats too,
are monkeys.
Yes. Actually, coffee as we know it was... the reason we discovered it is because there was goats eating coffee cherries and they would be dancing with energy, and that's how people would be like, oh, inside of that is where the coffee bean is.
That is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, it's possible that that's some sort of folklore, but it is definitely the story I've been led to believe.
And I feel like somebody just was like, James will believe this.
No, I mean, I would look it up, but I think that's cheating, so I use my secret smarts just by pondering it later.
Yeah, longer. You are pretty convincing because, to be honest with you, I'm New York-style pizza all the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you obviously have convinced me to go with deep dish.
Well,
you know, it goes against all of my chef instincts and me being a native New Yorker.
Yeah, I just use honesty, and I think the story's true because goats are something that can climb mountains, and in order to have a good coffee bean, it has to be in high elevations. So there's a lot of things that go along with that story that make it make sense, because otherwise, what would you think to yourself? I should roast that and brew it.
Yeah, and I feel like I've seen or need to then create something called there's got to be a dancing goat.
Yeah.
Coffee shop.
Almost
somewhere.
Pagan.
Jackie, what about your most memorable meal? It could be fancy or not. Clearly, it's not a Chicago hot dog at a Bears game.
It's definitely never going to be that. I can't even look at Chicago. Maybe I should have gone with that first. Food, I think, is disgusting. I think there's too much.
Oh, get into it. Chicago hot dog.
There's way too much shit on a Chicago hot dog.
Okay,
let's
break it down. Nuclear green relish.
Gross.
Okay. Hot pepper.
Well, I like hot peppers, but I don't like... Sometimes when they put the peppers on, it's a whole pepper. It's like there's putting on more than like even the hot dog.
Tomato?
It's too much tomato. They put on like a fourth of a tomato.
It's a salad, Jackie.
If I wanted that, then I'd cut up a hot dog and put it in a salad.
Which is pretty smart.
And there's nothing to wet down the hot dog. Like, the hot dog needs some wetness and not like gross relish wetness. It needs some...
You don't want one of those deep dish hot dogs?
I want a chili. If I want a chili, I want a chili cheese dog. I want like something that's going to like make me like later on feel like... Not like I just like, light salad hot dog.
But the real kicker on a Chicago hot dog is the celery seed, which most people don't get. It adds a little salinity to it.
Celery seed. I thought it was celery salt.
Celery salt.
Celery salt.
I'm not trying to correct.
No,
I don't know.
You could
but
be right.
I've never seen seeds on a celery.
And you know what I like about putting celery salt on a hot dog is take something that's already so processed and full of sodium, and now we're like, you know what? This needs a little bit more salt.
There you go. Well, this actually brings up another classic debate when it comes to hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Ketchup and mustard or just mustard? James.
I don't know. I really struggle with that. I like it both ways, but if I'm in Chicago, I'm not putting any ketchup on it because I know
and
where
I hate that.
Or at least not outside.
I've been intimidated out of having, you know, ketchup on a hot dog in Chicago, but I secretly like it.
Like, you're an outsider. So, Jackie, ketchup on a hot dog? Okay.
Ketchup on a hot dog? Okay. In fact, I've gotten like a plain hot dog at a Chicago hot dog stand. And I'm like, I'm going to need some ketchup for this. And they're like, we don't have that. I'm like, well, fuck you.
That sounds like you.
I paid $8 for this hot dog. I want to have what I want on it.
You are an asshole restaurateur if, like, you have a hot dog stand and you don't have ketchup.
Yeah, right? I've gone into a restaurant across the street from a hot dog stand in Chicago to go get a packet of ketchup for a hot dog.
That's some hardcore stuff right there.
And then I never went back, and I told the guy I was going to do it.
Now I'm just gauging your what about, since this was a pizza debate, pineapple on pizza, yay or nay?
I love pineapple on pizza. I love cooking pineapple.
Ooh,
I like it in stir fry. I like it in a lot of stuff.
Changing the sweetness to a more caramelized sweetness. Okay.
Cooking that up.
Jackie, pineapple on pizza?
No, thank you. No. No, I get the salt and sweet thing. I'm not even like really like, I don't have a huge opinion on it. I just don't personally like pineapple that much. Like, if I get a Dole Whip, it's whatever other flavor they have besides pineapple.
Yes, it's got to be the half and half Dole Whip. It's the way to go, right?
They have a raspberry one now, and it's like raspberry is where I'm going. I don't know, and I know that's like, I'm mad at myself almost for like saying, because I just not into pineapple.
Mm.
Just never have been. My dad's growing a pineapple. He has for, I think it's on like year six. It takes forever to grow pineapple.
Hey.
And
now,
when he finally has it,
when
he's
you
so
say
excited.
A pineapple, you're not literally meaning.
I mean one pineapple.
How do you grow one pineapple?
You cut off that when you get a pineapple, like a full pineapple, you cut off the top. And then you stick it like in some soil.
No.
I'm not kidding. Yes. That's how you grow a pine. But it grows one pineapple.
I thought they would be off
pineapple.
The top of the tree.
This is some like food influencer blogger thing right there. But that's
and
working.
It takes so long to grow.
And you got
to
do the time lapse footage of that to really like drive it home.
So the pineapple part grows below the soil?
Yeah, like a
potato. Weird.
Well, it's kind of like an avocado, right? If you crack the seed of an avocado and put it in some like warm water in a mason jar, that's supposed to also grow an avocado.
I didn't know that either.
That's from a seed. This is right. Like you cut off the top, you just like, stick the top in some, and it like starts growing a new one.
It'll grow anywhere. Like
no.
Sidewalk. No, okay, you got
it. No, it. You got it. You got to give it
just
like
laying on its side.
Pineapple everywhere.
No, it's not. It's not that easy, but with some care, yes, you can do it. But like years.
Awesome. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was great. Listen, everyone, what do you think? I know that you're going to let me hear about it on social media. Food Court is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Richard Blaze. My producer is Crystal Bamahi. Food Court was created by our executive producer, Christopher Hasiotis. The rest of my Food Court clerks are Gabrielle Collins, David Wasserman, and Jasmine Blaze. The theme song is by Jason Naismith. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite food shows. And until next week, Food Court is adjourned.